Indeed, our Lord is mighty to save, and what a blessing as we gather here and continue in worship of Him. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, and we're going to be taking a look at verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell the disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Did you know that Christianity is the only religion that has an empty tomb? All but four of the major world religions are based on more philosophical prepositions. And then of the four that are based on personalities rather than philosophies, only Christianity claims that its founder has an empty tomb. In 1900 BC, Judaism's father Abraham died. In 483 BC, Buddhist writings say that Buddha died with that utter passing away in which nothing whatever remains behind. And in 632 AD, Muhammad died. And then there is Christianity. In 33 AD, Jesus died, but also rose from the dead on the third day, appearing to more than 500 people over the course of the next 40 days. And this is the basis for all of our preaching. This is the basis for all of our faith, because it is upon the resurrection that every part of our faith is held together. And if you take away the resurrection, our faith ends up being rather foolish. This morning we are finishing up a sermon series called Giving Up. And over the course of these last 6 weeks, and this makes week 7 of it, what we've learned is that it's extremely beneficial for us to give up those things that the world tells us to hold on to. And so whether it's comfort or control, popularity or superiority, expectations or enemies, we benefit when we trust God rather than chasing after these concerns. And the same is true for the issue of death. On this Easter morning, let's discover together how just as Jesus overcame the grave with life, so we too can overcome the grave with that same life. You know, the resurrection, it makes your work to overcome death unnecessary. Right? We live in a society that is obsessed with death. We try everything we can to stave it off. We try and eat healthier. We're told that one thing causes cancer, so we try and avoid it. We're told another thing's bad for our heart, so we turn away from it. We're trying day by day to get better at avoiding death, because after all, for a lot of us, right, maybe there's a little fear there. The resurrection makes your work to overcome death unnecessary. Here in the Gospel of Mark, where we're told the story about three wonderful women who were so devoted to Jesus Christ that they went where the disciples dared not go. They went to his tomb so that they could anoint him with spices. Now, the fact that they brought spices with them tells us something. The first thing it tells us is that they did not expect him to be risen from the grave. Jesus had told them he was going to rise, but they fully expected that when the stone was rolled back, that Jesus was going to be there, and they brought the spices because a dead body smells. And they wanted to anoint his dead body so that the decay would not smell quite so bad. In other words, their effort was all an effort to overcome death. And they wanted to do so with their spices. You see, in Jesus' day, they didn't practice embalming. And so the body decayed much more quickly. But wouldn't you know it, the resurrection makes all that work unnecessary. Because there's no body to anoint. There's no decaying to stop. I want you to know this morning that the resurrection also makes all your work unnecessary. You see, before the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Jewish people had the mistaken belief that God's love and salvation hinged upon their rigorous efforts to follow over 600 laws of the Old Testament. And they believed that their salvation was centered upon their ability to be perfect, their ability to tip the scales in their favor so that at the end of the day, they did far more right than they ever did wrong. The resurrection made their work unnecessary. How many of us have ever felt the way that they felt or lived the way that they lived, thinking that somehow God's love was something to be earned, rather than something that he gives, rather than something that he provides? How many of us have ever wondered if we're good enough for that love? Or whether we've gone down a road so far away from him that he would never love us again? The resurrection makes all of that work unnecessary. You see, when Jesus rose from the grave, not only did he reveal that he was alive, but he also showed us that we can have life too. What does this mean for us? It means that our past does not have to define us. Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone away, and the new is here. Because of the resurrection, your mistakes of the past don't have to define your future. Instead, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the fact that he's risen from the grave, that becomes your new identity. We also learned that being imperfect does not have to condemn us. You know, the Apostle Paul says this in Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. If you're here this morning and you feel like maybe you've taken one too many steps away from God, I want you to know you haven't. God's still calling. The Holy Spirit's still leading. And he's still waiting with open arms, ready for you to come to him. We also see that we can approach God when we come with confidence, all because of the resurrection and not because of who we are or what we've done. Ephesians 3:12 says it like this, in him, speaking of Christ, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and with confidence. Maybe you're here this morning and you're feeling guilty about something. Or maybe you're here this morning and you don't feel like you're good enough to come to the Lord and you almost feel out of place because you're here and you feel dirty because you've messed up or you've done some sort of wrong or you've cheated people in some way and you know it and the Holy Spirit keeps showing you that in your heart and you feel terrible about it. because of the resurrection, you can approach God with confidence, not in who you are or what you've done, but in the finished work of Jesus Christ. What a joy that is. You see, the resurrection of Christ confirmed that he is indeed the way to the Father, just as he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It confirms that in him we are set free, made anew, and destined to spend eternity with God. But it's not because of anything that we've done. You know, I think of my two children, and Christopher and Julianne. He turns 10 tomorrow, and she turned 6 not too long ago, and they both have my last name, Butcher. But they didn't have to work to get that last name, did they? They just have it. They were born into it. It's the same thing when it comes to Christ. When we are born anew, it's not something we work for. It's something that God gives to us. What a huge difference that is. Our work is not what gives us eternal life. It is Christ and Christ alone. Death has been overcome through life. So the resurrection makes your work to overcome death unnecessary. Also, the resurrection turns your worry of death into wonder. We've already talked about how worried we are about death, right? How afraid people are. As they were on their way to the tomb, these three wonderful women, they were worried about one thing in particular. How are we going to move this huge stone that's over the grave? They didn't even know that it had been sealed shut with a seal by the Romans and that there was a post of guards guarding it to make sure that no one came and stole Christ's body. They were completely unaware of those two facets. All their concern was, what are we going to do with this big stone that weighs 2 to 4 tons? That's 2,000 to 4,000 pounds. What are we going to do with it? How are we going to move it? Because we need to get to work anointing the body of Jesus. But to their astonishment, the stone was rolled back, and they saw a young man dressed in a white robe beside the tomb. And he said, "Jesus the Nazarene, he's not here. He is risen just as he told you he would. Go to Galilee and you will find him there." Now we're told that they were alarmed, right? That's not really a good translation. They were much more than alarmed. It's not like they were scared. They were more awestruck. They were more overawed. And so impressed by the sight of the stone being rolled back and the young man being in there and the proclamation that Jesus is alive, that all they could do is stand silently in bewilderment and amazement. Right? If you've ever been so amazed by something that you were left speechless, that's how they were. They were stunned. They could not believe it. That's what the resurrection does. That's what the resurrection can do for us today. We worry so much about so many things. We worry about death and it can steal our joy. But that's not all we worry about. We worry about dead dreams, hopes that haven't come to pass. We've worried about dead relationships. We've worried about running into dead ends in our work and in our homes and not knowing what lies next. The resurrection shows us that where we see a dead end, God sees an opportunity. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like in your life you have run into a dead end. And you feel like in your life you don't know which way to turn. And you feel like there is no way to turn. And you feel lost because of it. The resurrection, it can turn your worry into wonder. You see, there is power in the presence of the risen Savior. There is power to solve your difficulties, remove your perplexities, and to satisfy every need of your troubled heart. You know, there's an old saying that you really only need two things in your toolbox: duct tape and WD-40. If it moves and it's not supposed to, you use the duct tape. If it doesn't move and it's supposed to, you use the WD-40. Now, we know that that's not entirely true. You do need much more than that in your toolbox. But here's the truth about Christ. He is all you need. He is all we need. Because we have a risen Lord, there is power in His presence, and there is power to solve your difficulties, whatever they may be. There is power to remove your perplexities and to satisfy every need in your troubled heart. The resurrection turns your worry of death into wonder. And then our last thought, the resurrection confronts your fear of death with hope. Here they are. They've been told. They were worried about who was going to roll the stone back. They were worried about getting the spices, anointing Jesus with the oils and doing all this work. And they were afraid when it was shared with them that He wasn't there. Now, we know from the other accounts in Matthew and Luke and John that the women, though in these first 8 verses they didn't tell anybody what had happened because they were so amazed, we know that they went and told the disciples. We know that they went and told Peter just as they were instructed. And why do you think Peter and the disciples are mentioned differently there? Peter was one of the disciples. It was to let the one who had denied Christ 3 times, denied that he knew him, denied that he was one of his followers, to let him know that Christ still loved him, that Christ was still going to appear to him. The resurrection confronts your fear of death with hope. It's what makes these words from Jesus so powerful. In the Gospel of John chapter 11, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Anyone who believes in me, even though they die, they will live." You know, D.L. Moody was one of the most famous evangelists in the 1900s, and he was called upon at a very young age to preach a funeral, and he had never done this before. And he said, "Well, I'm going to search the Gospels, and I'm going to see what Jesus said at funerals, because that's what I want to say when I do a funeral. I want to preach what Jesus would preach." And what he came to see as he studied the Scriptures is that Christ broke up every funeral he ever attended. That every time Christ came to a funeral, that death could not exist because He was present. And when they heard His voice, they sprang to life. When He went to the tomb of His friend Lazarus, who had been there for a number of days, and they rolled it back, and people, His family was afraid. "Aren't you worried about the odor?" And He said, "I can take care of even that." And He called out to Lazarus, and he came walking out of that tomb. And they fed him to show everybody that he was alive. Christ can have that same kind of impact in your life. He can have that same kind of impact in your heart. For anyone who hears His call, they are brought from death to life. They are brought from darkness to light. And that fear of death becomes a hope filled with eternal life to be enjoyed forever. This is the invitation of the resurrection. This is the hope that we have on this special, special Sunday morning. And so I invite you this morning, let us find hope in the resurrection. Let us discover that it's not our work, but Christ's work that overcomes death. Let us discover that it's not with worry that we have to walk through life, but instead we can walk through life with wonder. And let us discover that our fear of death is completely unfounded, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and anyone who believes, even though they die, will live. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do believe. And we know the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We know that it was on the cross that Jesus died for our sins. And it was for our sins that he suffered unto death. But just as he rose from the grave, so we too have a resurrection. Because just as we're told in your word, that just as we die with him, we also raised in a resurrection like his. Lord, help us to believe this morning. Help us to walk in faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.